Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all that you've done through our Lord Jesus Christ in bringing your body to fruitfulness, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you give us an overview of faith today to understand, Lord, what is the life of faith? What is it to live by faith? Please show us, Lord, and and let us gain wisdom from you today, and let us remember the things that you speak to us, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you so much. Well, we started on a New Testament survey of faith. But I'd like to go to part two here, and we've been studying an overview, not concentrating on any particular verses, but just an overview of what faith is and what the faith life is about from the New Testament, even from the word faith. And, well, I'd like to begin today with Mark 11. It says, now faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Okay, that's KJV. But faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. For therein the elders had witness borne unto them. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of the things which appear. Okay, so, you know, just a well-rounded view of faith. It's believing what God says. It's acting on what God says concerning His view of the saints, what He has done for the saints, what He has already accomplished through Jesus Christ for the saints. In Romans 1 and 5, we're told, through whom we receive grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith. Notice that, unto obedience of faith among all the nations for his namesake, among whom are ye also called to be Jesus Christ. Now he's talking to Christians. He says, we are called to be Jesus Christ, to belong to serve, so on and so forth. This obedience of faith is saying that faith has obedience, that an obedient people have faith. And it's reported also in chapter 16 and 26, but now is manifested by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, is made known unto all the nations unto obedience of faith. Obedience of faith. Faith without works is dead. The Lord, through James, pronounced. The people who have faith receive grace, as the Bible says. And grace is God's ability. Grace is God's favor to walk in His ways. There are a people out there that believe when you talk obedience, you're talking works. They don't understand we're talking God's works manifested in His people. Those who have faith are also those who have works. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were you created for good works. So the first works, of course, is our works. Our works is not faith. Our works is the opposite of faith. Ceasing from our works and entering into the rest is faith. He that hath believed doth enter in to that rest. Right? So, The obedient people are the people that have faith. The people that confess that they have faith and they have not works, can that faith save them? Well, no. James said, I will show you my faith by my works. You know, Romans 1 and 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God, a belief or a faith in the good news of what Jesus accomplished at the cross, the thing we call the gospel. It is the power of God to save, not just save because you stepped over the line one day and confessed Jesus to be your Savior, but save from sin, save from corruption, sin and its curse, saved. A saved people is a people who have good works, God's good works, not man's good works, in order to be saved, of course. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous live by faith in the gospel, in the scriptures, in God's promises of who God says we are because of the cross. And it's from faith to faith. It's not just a faith that says, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, which, as I've always reported, is not in the scriptures. What's in the scriptures is repent and believe. And now we know that when people believe, they actually have the works of God. They love the works of God. They're not trying to avoid the works of God by confessing them sins, themselves going to be sinners the rest of their life. They're not doing that. The righteous shall live by faith. It's not just one step over the line thing. It's a constant life. And when you leave faith, you leave God. Okay, it's a life of faith. In our survey, we'll go to Romans 3 and 22. On down, it says, even the righteousness of God through faith. We receive, we're accounted righteous by our faith. That is our belief in what happened through Jesus Christ at the cross. He took away our sins. He nailed them to the cross. And now it's no longer we that live, it's Him that lives in us. And that faith causes is respected by God. It's accounted righteous by God. So many Antichrist preachers out there are speaking the very opposite of what the Bible says, that you can go ahead and live by sin and just confess your sins and God will forgive you. Well, a lot of that's just willful disobedience, and there's no sacrifice according to Hebrews 10:26 for willful disobedience. Sorry to say. They lied to you about that too. The blood doesn't cover that. If we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. Romans 3:22 says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ unto all them that believe, for there is no distinction. Notice, it's the believers that count, not what we loosely call Christians. It's the believers who count. They're the people of God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He didn't say you were going to continue to do this the rest of your life, as they profess. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is so true. No man is worthy to receive this gift from God. It is a gift. It is unmerited favor. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Bought and taken. We are redeemed. We are justified freely because we believe we've been redeemed from the corruption of sin and its curse. whom God set forth to be a propitiation or a covering through faith in his blood. Obviously, we are ignorant of so many things. Under the law, it didn't matter whether you were ignorant or not. If you were an offender of the law, you offended the law. So they had sacrifices regularly. We've got one sacrifice, and it's only applied by faith in what Jesus did on the cross. But God set him forth to be a propitiation. Because we are ignorant of a lot of things, we need a blood covering. And he set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to show his righteousness because of the passing over. There it is, a Passover. A passing over of the sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God. We have a passing over here. The Lord is passing over our sins because we believe that he took away our sins and he nailed them to the cross. Not just forgave our sins. That's what they preach. You're forgiven. No, if you don't believe he took away your sins, you're not forgiven. And if you don't forgive others, you're not forgiven. That's what he said. For the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier, he accounts us as righteous, the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. I believe Jesus is able to save us to the uttermost. I believe that he is able to manifest maturity in us through faith in Jesus Christ and take away the sins that he already took away because we exercise that faith that he's done so. 27. Where then is the glorying? It is excluded. What have we got to brag about? Nothing. We got nothing to brag about. It's a free gift. It's unmerited and unearned. By what manner of law? Of works? No, no works of the law. Nay, but by a law of faith. Now there is a law of faith. Whatsoever you believe, you will receive. And if you don't believe it, you won't receive it. If you believe you're a sinner saved by grace the rest of your life, and that's all that Jesus paid for, you're wrong, and you will not receive sanctification. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Amen. Amen. People are flocking to the law because they find something they can do to make them feel comforted. But it's no comfort it should be no comfort in it whatsoever, because God has spoken against it. We have a new covenant based on better promises, and we need to depart from a covenant that was never made with us Gentiles in the first place. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yea, of the Gentiles also. If so be that God is one, and he shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. We're justified through our faith, that we have been perfected at the cross by one offering, the Bible says. The uncircumcision through faith, he says. Do we then make the law of none effect through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. We fulfill the law. Not as a letter, but as a spirit. The letter of the law was given to the letter people, the Jews. The spirit of the law was given to the spiritual people, those who are of the new creation man, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, not the first Adam. We were all born of the first Adam, but we must be born of the last Adam. He is the father of the new creation, the born-again man. But we establish the law. We fulfill the letter in the spirit. Just like every parable has its fulfillment, the law as a parable gave its fulfillment in the New Testament. It was explained very well to us. Romans 4 and 5. But to him that worketh not, in other words, not seeking salvation through their own works, their own self-efforts, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Amen. His faith is reckoned for righteousness. Reckoned means accounted. Accounted for righteousness. When you believe that God has justified you right where you are by faith, he's accounted you righteous because you believe that Jesus took away your sins. You believe he delivered you from the curse. You believe what the Bible says. Then that is reckoned or accounted as righteousness. And all of those people that are trying to drag you back under the law to make you righteous, that is evil. It is sin. We'll talk about that a little later. Even as David also pronounced blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Glory to God. Even a man in his ignorance, not a man in his willful disobedience, that won't help. You got no covering for that. But a man in his ignorance, and a man in his failure, I might say, because he finds his flesh stronger than he is. But he reckons that the Lord is true, and that the Lord has already taken away his sins, and that through that it will be accomplished because we believe it. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. It is this blessing then pronounced upon the circumcision. Is this blessing then pronounced upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say to Abraham, his faith was reckoned for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, the flesh wasn't yet cut away from the way he sowed his seed. You know, whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. We sow in many ways. Our works are sowing. Our thoughts are sowing. Our words are sowing, as the parable of the sower points out. We are sowing. And we still, and sometimes, sow flesh. Sometimes we don't realize it's flesh. It's an increasing revelation that helps us to realize that. But we are accounted as righteous, so that we can come into the presence of God and have fellowship with God in the meantime, while God is doing this wondrous work of the creation of the second man, the second Adam. We can't wait till we're perfect to be able to talk to God. We have to be perfect by faith, right? And verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision. In other words, he obeyed. Now Paul tells us that circumcision is baptism in the New Testament. Okay, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus said. So, there is a seal of the righteousness, and it is obedience. Abraham was obedient when he learned what God wanted to be done as far as circumcision. He was obedient, the sign of the covenant, right? So he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith. And what is it? It is the obedience of faith, which he had while he was in uncircumcision. Might I say that you, if you haven't been baptized, you're disobedient? That he might be the father of all them that believe. So he was obedient to become the father of all them that believe. His faith empowered him to be obedient. Though they be in uncircumcision, that righteousness might be reckoned unto them. And the father of circumcision to them who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. So it's not enough just to be a Jew. You have to walk in the faith of Abraham, which he had in uncircumcision. For not through the law was the promise to Abraham or to his seed that he should be heir of the world. It didn't come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Oh, praise God. The righteousness of faith made him heir of the world, not the law. For if they that are of the law are heirs, faith is made void. Yeah, if you have to go back and keep a covenant that God never made with you, by breaking the covenant that God did make with you, you're missing God. And faith cannot be made void. He made that covenant with Abraham before the law came, as we'll see down the road a little bit. And the promise is made of none effect. Okay? If they that are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is made of none effect. So don't deceive yourselves when you go back or when you go under a law of the old covenant. For the law worketh wrath, but where there is no law, oh my, no law, neither is there transgression. So, for this cause it is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed. Many people are not capable, all people are not capable, until they have faith in Jesus Christ. It is of faith. The thing that God respects is faith. He does not respect the law. It came in because of lawbreakers, and it was a meantime thing until the seed should come to whom the promise is due. That's what the Bible says. It was just to keep people under some sort of servitude to peer pressure, to keep them from being radically going astray as sinners, until the people who came that received the faith of Abraham. So that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not to the only that which is of the law, that means a Jew who believes, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the Romans. He's the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee. Before, no, in other words, notice, this was before the law he did this. A father of many nations have I made thee before him whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead, and calleth the things that are not as though they were, who in hope believed against hope, to the end that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall thy seed be. And without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, he being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God. He wasn't able. He tried. He failed. He finally ended up in faith. First, he ended up with an Ishmael because of his own works. And when that failed and he realized that only faith, I think it was in the last year actually that he came to that faith. And being fully assured that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Wherefore also it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. It was imputed as righteousness. It was accounted as righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was reckoned unto him, but for our sake also, unto whom it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Because when he raised Jesus from the dead, he raised us from the dead. As in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Those who abide in Jesus Christ will be resurrected from the dead. Those that talk Jesus Christ without any obedience to Jesus Christ, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? You can't call him Lord unless you're obeying him. We believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. And Romans 5:1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace because we're justified. Not because we're keeping this law or that law, but because we're justified. We have peace. God says, you believe me, I'll do it through you. And the Old Testament is, you do it or else. And here's what you do. Now we have the Holy Spirit. So we might know the things that are ours from God. And verse 2, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace. You see, you only have access to grace through faith, even after you have become what you call a Christian. But look at Jesus, that's Christian. Christ-like, that's what it means. Okay, so you need grace, right? Because we're coming into his image by faith. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit, right? We behold in a mirror. We're accepting the end result from the beginning. Isn't that what we discovered faith was? Yes, we're accepting. We're not walking by sight. We're not looking at our natural face in the mirror, for which James said you'd just be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. We're seeing Jesus in the mirror. I don't live anymore. It's Christ who lives in me. That's what the Bible says. That was the good confession. Right? So, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hope in the New Testament is generally a word meaning a firm expectation. It's not hoping for something you don't ever think will happen. It's a firm expectation. We expect the glory of God to be manifested in us because we behold Christ in the mirror, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We call the things that be not as though they were. This is the life of faith. If you speak against that, if you speak the things that are, if you keep complaining about your failure, complaining about this, and whining about this and that and the other, what you don't see, you're supposed to be walking by faith, casting down the thoughts of the old man. Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who followed not after righteousness attained to righteousness? Even the righteousness which is of faith? Yes, isn't that awesome? How long would you have to study to know all of the law so that you could obey all of the law if you had a nature to obey all of the law, which you don't? It was impossible. They all failed. If God tells you everything he wants you to do, you will fail because of your nature. But now we accept this new nature from Jesus Christ by faith. It's his nature that was given to us through the redemption. There was an exchange made, a reconciliation, an exchange of his life for our life. How do we come to walk more and more in his ways and in his thoughts and in his actions? It is through faith. We accept it at the beginning. We call the things that be not as though they were. And because of our faith, we receive grace to do it. Amen. But Israel, following after a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? How could they all fail? Because they all had a fallen nature. The New Testament is where God gives you his nature. 32. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works. So they failed, and every Judaized Christian will fail too. They sought it not by faith, but as it were by works. I know a lot of Judaized Christians, they all say it's by faith and it's not by works, but they all are trying to be a Jew wannabe, you know, for goodness sake. They stumbled at the stone of stumbling, and Christians do the same thing. Even as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. All of them, all of those Jews, stumbled at the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. Because if you seek to be justified by the law, you have to keep the whole law. So they keep the Sabbath. They don't eat meat. They do something, you know. Okay, we're justified. Oh, no. You got to go ahead and keep the rest of it, too. And you're not going to be able to do that, so you're going to fail. You're going to stumble on the stone of stumbling. And he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Oh, glory to God. Romans 10 and 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them, that they may be saved. Why are Christians going back to try to become Jews? They think that they're saved. Well, there's a lot of people that have that doctrine that there's two peoples that are saved, the Jews and the Gentiles. No, there's only one people that are saved, those who are born again. You must be born again, Jesus said, or from above. You must be. He said that to a Jew. A relatively good Jew. So Paul, you know, grieved. He wanted his people to be saved. He said, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. It's just not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, right? They did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's the end of the law. For Moses writeth that the man that doeth the righteousness which is of the law shall live thereby. That means you have to keep it all. But the righteousness which is of faith saith thus, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Well, that would be kind of like self-righteousness, wouldn't it? That would be like self-confidence, wouldn't it? Which is what the law is, it's self-confidence. I can keep the law. God will accept me. No, he won't. Who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who shall descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. In other words, there are people that judge by works for other people, but by faith for themselves. They forget that Jesus died for others too. And that they should be working the works of him that sent them to be an administer of this reconciliation to other people. And believe for them too. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith, it's in your mouth and in your heart. If we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father. He's the high priest of our confession, so we have to confess, which means the word is homo legeo, to speak the same as. So we have to say what God says about us through the gospel. We have to confess that we see Jesus in the mirror by faith. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. Now, are you saying that by faith? If thou wilt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, and by the way, he raised you from the dead because you were in him from the foundation of the world. You who are the chosen of God. But there are many called and few chosen. Many are called, but they don't bother to find out the deep truths of the elect, the chosen, right? Thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Isn't that awesome? And Romans 11 and 17 says, but if some of the branches were broken off, and thou being a wild olive was grafted in among them, and didst become partaker with them of the root of the fatness of the olive tree, glory not over the branches, but if thou gloriest, it is not thou that bearest the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. This is so. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Notice, it's not a faith that you once had. It's a faith that you're walking in now. By their unbelief they were broken off. They did not walk by faith. They didn't learn to walk by faith. And thou standest by faith. The only way you stand in the olive tree is by faith. It's what keeps you there. Don't say once saved, always saved. It's a bunch of baloney that men believe to make them feel comfortable. But it's certainly not in the Word of God. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. That is, if you don't continue in the faith, right? He will not spare you. Many are falling away from the faith. Maybe their faith when they first came to the Lord was infantile. That's okay. It's okay to continue to grow in your faith. But sometimes men put them back under the law, even if it's the law of religion. There are lots of religions out there that destroy people. Behold then the goodness and severity of God towards them that fell, severity, but towards thee God's goodness. If, well, you can't take the ifs out of there. Towards thee God's goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in. So the Jews can be grafted back into their olive tree. If they believe. If they believe what? If they believe the gospel. The Jews have to believe the gospel. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wast cut out of that which is by nature a wild olive tree, and wast grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Oh, praise the Lord. Romans 12 and 3. For I say, through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. Now, the Bible says all have not faith. So he's talking about the people of God. He's talking about the called people of God, the called and chosen people of God. They have faith. Do they use it? Well, no, the disciples didn't sometimes use it, and Jesus rebuked them for that because it was a serious issue. People think, wonder, why was Jesus rebuking them for faith? They didn't have enough faith, you know. Unbelief is a sin. Doubt is a sin. He was rebuking them because this is so very important in our covenant. It's the very foundation of it. It's going to divide between those who will be chosen because of fruitfulness and those who will not be chosen because they have no fruit that looks like Jesus Christ. So, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith, for even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another. And having gifts differing according to the grace that was given unto us, which came through faith, right? Do you exercise the gifts that you've received by faith? I hope so. It's necessary. We're commanded to do that. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry. Or he that teacheth to his teaching. Or he that exhorteth to his exhorting. He that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So share your gift and grow with your gift as you grow in faith, is what he's saying. Okay. Continue to walk for greater and greater heights of the gift of Jesus Christ. Because that's what the gifts are. People who reject the gifts, they're rejecting Jesus Christ. He is the gifts. Did you notice that those gifts were with him? It was a part of his work. And his faith caused him to enter into the work of God. And it should be so with us also. We should work the works of God. Romans 14 and 1. Here's a flip side of the coin about concerning what you are responsible to do and what you're not responsible to do as far as judging other people. For God looks upon the heart. Romans 14 and 1, but him that is weak in the faith receive ye. Not for decisions of scruples, not for doubtful disputings, as some versions say. One man hath faith to eat all things, but he that is weak eateth herbs. Well, now here it is, folks. Here's putting people under your law of what you know. It's God who is the revelator. It's God who opens people's eyes. It's God who gives people faith to believe the things that he wants. He's the Savior. All right? Let not him that eateth set at naught him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Now, has he received them? If they're contrary to the word, well, they don't understand all of the word yet. They haven't had the time to put that together. Sometimes their flesh even resists them, or pride resists them. A lot of people under the law are full of pride, and you just can't hardly get through to them. All of these things that we're talking about here, straight out of the mouth of God, you know. So, we're justified by faith. God has received him because of his faith. Now he's searching out the scriptures to find out what it is to serve God so that he may manifestly serve God and manifestly come into the image of Jesus Christ, right? We accept that we are in the image of Jesus Christ, because we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And now it's God's job to bring us from glory to glory. Okay, so we don't judge the younger brother, the more ignorant brother. We don't judge him. We just love him. If the Lord opens a door for us to encourage them into a deeper faith, then we do it. If not, well, it may take a little longer. It takes some people longer than others, right? Who art thou that judgest the servant of another? To his own Lord he standeth or falleth. So they're not our servants, they're the Lord's servants. Let him show them. And I pray that we are humble enough to be used of him to show them, and that they are humble enough to receive it. Yea, he shall be made to stand, for the Lord hath power to make him stand. The Lord has power to do this. If he will continue in the faith, he will receive the power. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let each man be fully assured in his own mind. In other words, don't cross your conscience. You know, if you cross your conscience, if you do what you know is wrong in your conscience, you have offended God. Let each man be fully assured in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. Yep, he's happy to regard it unto the Lord. There was a day when many Christians thought Sunday was a day of reverence, or that they lived as though Sunday was the Sabbath, and others, Saturday is the Sabbath, okay? But he says, don't judge. Don't judge him. Let God show him. Pray for him. Believe for him, right? So he that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that eateth unto the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, unto the Lord he eateth not, and he giveth God thanks. See, little children, they make mistakes, but they're little children, so you let them grow, right? You encourage them. You love them, right? For none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But thou, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or thou again, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. And they are accounted as righteous if they're walking by faith, because walking by faith gives you grace, and grace gives you that favor from God to know things, discern things, receive things from him, so on and so forth. You know, we're all somewhere along the line, you know, from a baby on up, okay? And the elder brother doesn't look at the little baby brother and say, well, look how stupid you are, you know, or you're offending God, or you're not doing this right, or you're doing that right. No, that's silly. You'd think that would be stupid. You would correct that person. But when it comes to religion, people don't do that. All right? For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Let people grow according to their own rate, just like everybody naturally does in the first place. And it will be proven, by the way, ultimately, who it is that's walking by faith, because they're going to bear fruit. And those that are not walking by faith, although they're very religious and they, you know, accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, but they're not bearing any fruit because they're not exercising any faith. It will be proven. That's up to God. But judge ye this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way or an occasion of falling. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself, save to him who accounteth anything to be unclean. To him it is unclean. Notice, when you think something's unclean, it is unclean for you. It is unclean for you because your conscience tells you it is. Don't offend your conscience. Do what it tells you. Your conscience just tells you to do right and don't do wrong. And you have to educate your conscience about what is right and what is wrong. That's why we have the scriptures. But don't offend your conscience. It's a part of your spirit, by the way. For if because of meat thy brother is grieved, thou walkest no more in love. Destroy not with thy meat him for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Some people are free to eat all meats, and some are not. There are people who are weak in the faith and people who are strong in the faith. But neither should judge one another. For he that herein serveth Christ is well-pleasing unto God and approved of men. So then, let us follow after things which make for peace. All this judging one another over what you're ignorant about or what I'm ignorant about is not making peace. And things whereby we may edify one another. It's right to study what is right until you start judging individuals. It's right to study what is right. We should do that because we want to grow up. We want to know what's right and what's wrong. We want to educate our conscience. It's good. It's good to speak about what's Pharisaical and what is not. Jesus did it. The disciples did it. But judging individuals who want to walk with God but are ignorant should not be done. It says, overthrow not for meat's sake the work of God. All things indeed are clean. Howbeit, it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. So, the Lord says that all meats are clean. He's not looking at the parables in the Old Testament. He's looking at the New Testament here. He said they're clean. However, if a person eats it and their conscience is against it, they're eating with offense. It's good not to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor to do anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. In other words, if what you're doing in his presence, or let's say you invite him to lunch and you feed him something that he considers to be unclean, then you're causing him to stumble. Or you're using your freedom to eat what you want in front of him, which may make him stumble, you know. Verse 22, the faith which thou hast, have thou to thyself before God. Happy is he that judgeth not himself in that which he approveth. Yes, that's good. You know, live according to your conscience. Educate your conscience, but live according to your conscience. But he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if somebody goes against their conscience to do something, and you've helped them to do that, and it's not of faith, in other words, they don't believe it's God's way, then they're sinning. They're defiling themselves. 1 Corinthians 2 and 5 says, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh my gosh, how many dead religions offend this verse? They serve God with their mind and not with their spirit. It is the wisdom of men that people are standing in there, not the power of God. You know, if they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, from such turning away, the Bible says. Turn away. Are any of you supporting people that don't even believe in the full gospel? No, turn away, turn away. These things should die. And nobody in there should be, or will be, actually, a mature Christian. Okay, turn away, we're commanded. And so, yes, some people's totally, their whole existence is depending upon the wisdom of men. They trust that this man is telling them something. But that this man has no power from God, because God confirms his word with signs and wonders following, the Bible says. If he has no power from God, turn away from him. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. All right, praise God. Now, every one of you should have manifestations of the Spirit. And it's to profit the whole body. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, I know what the non-Spirit-filled people say about this. They say when you go to Bible school, you get this gift of the word of wisdom. Quite the contrary. And to another, the word of knowledge. Well, yes, we go there and we get knowledge, you know, but you could stay home and read your Bible and get more knowledge. I'm going to tell you right now. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you have no need that any man should teach you. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Now, we do have a need for men who are used of God to teach us. That's different. That's why God has the fivefold ministry, right? But the fivefold ministry was never people that were not filled with the Spirit and the gifts. Never. To one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and another the word of knowledge, and according to the same Spirit, and to another faith in the same Spirit. Now, this is a gift of faith which is over and above your normal faith that every true Christian has. It's faith for a certain thing, a certain power, so on and so forth. Faith for miracles, faith for signs, faith. It's a gift of faith. It's kind of an overwhelming thing when it comes. It just uses you, you know. No, you don't use it. It uses you. And to another, gifts of healings and in the one Spirit. And to another, workings of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, discernings of spirits. And to another, divers kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as he will. So, you're not partaking of these, you say? Well, you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be seeking them out. You're commanded to do that by the Lord through the Apostle Paul, to seek them out. Yes, I know men have destroyed any desire for the non-Spirit-filled people to have these gifts. But these men will pay for their Antichrist gospel. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15 and 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, then is your preaching in vain. Your faith is also in vain. Yes, because if Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, you wouldn't have been raised from the dead. Because we become united with him in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection, according to Romans chapter 6. So, if he hadn't been raised, you wouldn't be raised either. You'd have no power. You couldn't grow up and come into his image, so on and so forth. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we witnessed of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, and if so be that the dead are not raised. And I've been witness to at least four resurrections of the dead, you know. Maybe there's more that I don't even know about. But I've been witnessed to those. So God does raise the dead. He does. It is him. He confirms his word with signs and wonders too. For if the dead are not raised, neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, your faith is in vain. Your faith is useless if he hasn't been raised from the dead. But, on the other hand, if he has been raised from dead and you are exercising your faith, it's not in vain. if he's raised from the dead and you don't exercise your faith, that's in vain. You'll get nothing. Be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. Right? And he says, if your faith is in vain, then you're yet in your sins. Then they also that are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most pitiable. But now hath Christ been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Now isn't that awesome? Think about that. In the loins of Adam, when he died, everybody died. Everybody fell into death, corruption. But when Jesus was raised, we were in him. And we were resurrected too. And we were given his resurrection life. The Bible says, as he is, even so are we in this world. Think about that. He didn't say as he was, but as he is, even so are we in this world. In other words, we are accepting resurrection life. The resurrection life that worked through Jesus. And that's what our faith is supposed to be. That we receive the end from the beginning. The reason we receive this end of the manifestation of Christ in you, which is the hope of glory, is because we receive it from the beginning. That's what faith is. It's the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not yet seen. So there are people out there walking by sight all the time and speaking by sight all the time. They don't even know what faith is, and they call themselves Christians. 2 Corinthians 1:24, not that we have lordship over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for in faith you stand fast. So, you know, we don't judge anybody by our faith. And we don't know what their faith is. But we can encourage them because we believe for them. We can encourage them to have faith. Not to look at what they are. That would be a failure. As Peter said, they see their natural face in the mirror, so they're a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word. They got no grace from God, in other words, right? So we can encourage their faith. We can't make them have faith. You can't legislate faith. So we don't have lordship over their faith, but are helpers of their joy. And we can preach to them what they will have if they believe. Exactly what Jesus did and what all of his disciples did. And 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. Having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, and therefore did I speak. Now, if you believe in the things that you don't see, and you confess them, you can speak them, and they will come into existence. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation. Soteria. Soteria. That's all your needs supplied. How do you get salvation? With all of your needs supplied by God. You know? You get it by believing in your heart and confessing it with your mouth. Oh yes, you look stupid to a world that doesn't understand faith. But if you will step out there and and speak it, God will give you grace to bring it to pass. And if they believe it, he will give them grace to bring it to pass. So we must be bold enough to suffer if necessary to get the truth out. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we're always confessing those things that are ours because the Bible says they're ours. The people who walk by sight, they look in the mirror and they see themselves. And they can justify themselves. Or they can see Jesus and justify him. Right? We walk by faith. We believe we have received. Jesus said, "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them." That's what it says. Even in the received text, it says that. Has a footnote there that tells you that. Why they didn't put it in the text is because they probably didn't know what faith was. But anyway, that's what faith is. Jesus told us what faith is. Mark 11 and 24. "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them." Why do we believe we received them? Because it all happened at the cross. "And you shall have them." If you walk by sight, that's all you get. In other words, the things that are. If you walk by faith, you call the things that be not as though they were. And then you get them because God stands behind your faith with grace. He doesn't stand behind what you say you have by sight. You want to change things? You want to change the curse on your life? You walk by faith. You speak by faith. 2 Corinthians 13 and 4. "For he was crucified through weakness." Yes, he didn't have to die. "No man takes my life. I lay it down," he said. "He was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth through the power of God. For we also are weak in him." In other words, we are weak to save ourselves. We're not weak to bring his salvation to play in everything that we do. Because his power is made perfect through weakness. "But we shall live with him through the power of God towards you. Try your own selves, whether you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Or know you not as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you be reprobate?" Or adokimos, rejected. A person without faith is rejected. Doesn't matter how religious they are. They can be very religious, go to church all the time. But the righteous shall live from faith. "And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions." Can God save your soul? Mind, will, and emotions. Yes, he can. And you have to confess it. There are reprobate Christians. They've been rejected. They're very religious. They might judge you for not believing in their particular dogma or religion. Don't do them the same, you know. But there are many, many reprobates. And when they, I don't know if you all ever heard Howard Pittman's testimony, how he had done everything that he thought was right, you know. I mean, he was very proud. He was a preacher too. But when he stepped up to the gates of heaven, the Lord spoke to him and it knocked him down. And he told him what a reprobate he was. Believe me, he come back a changed man. As anyone would. But there are a lot of people like that they just don't know. And God had mercy on him. Galatians 2 and 16. Yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe what he said? Do you believe what he did? Even we believed on Christ Jesus that we might be the justifier, or might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we sought to be justified in Christ, we ourselves also were found sinners, how can you do that? Because you believe in Jesus Christ and what he did, but you'll be found a sinner if you seek to be justified by the law. So, but if while we sought to be justified in Christ, we ourselves also were found sinners, is Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build up again those things which I destroyed, I prove myself a transgressor. In other words, if Paul went back under the law, he would be doing just that. For I, through the law, died unto the law, that I might live unto God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live. This is the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. I have been crucified. That is, I, the old man, have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. See, if you said that in a lot of churches, they'd just throw you right out of there. Christ is living in me. And believe me, Christ living in you can handle whatever situation that comes. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God. So while you're walking in that body, have faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving me your life. Thank you for crucifying this old man. Thank you that I don't have to put up with him the rest of my life. But I can be useful in your kingdom, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. So, if you go on down to Galatians 3 and 1, you see the problem that God has with these people. Oh, foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified? This only would I learn from you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And he said this because the Judaizers had gotten to them and were putting them back to the works of the law. They were giving up a covenant that was a better covenant based on the promises of God to go back to an old covenant that passed away, the Bible says. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected in the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed in vain? He therefore that supplieth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, now who of you can do that? He's the one that supplies the Spirit, he's the one that works the miracles through us. But how can two walk together except they be agreed? You have to come into agreement with God so you can be a vessel through whom he can flow. Right? Doeth he it by the works of the law? Why, no. Or by the hearing of faith? Yes, by the hearing of faith. The gift of God flowing through you by the gift of faith. Right? even as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Know therefore that they that are of faith, the same are sons of Abraham. You see, there's a lot of Christians that are not sons of Abraham because they don't walk by faith. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. In thee. That means if you walk by faith, you're a son of Abraham. You're in him, right? So then, they that are of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. If you're walking by faith, the righteous shall live by faith. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. Did you get that? For it is written, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you're under the law, you're under a curse. The curse is, you have to do them all, and you can't. That's the curse. Now, that no man is justified by the law, why is that? Because none of them could keep it. Now, that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But he that doeth them shall live in them. And that's a sad thing, because there's going to be many people falling away into corruption because without faith, you don't have the power of God. They can be the grossest sinners and yet keeping the Sabbath. And they think, well, I'm keeping the Sabbath. They're holding on to that thing while they live in sin because they have no power, because they have no faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, praise God, through faith. So they received all this by faith, but now they were going back under the law. And he bemoaned this in chapter 4. You know, he said, I'm afraid of you, lest I've wasted my time on you. Verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet when it hath been confirmed, no one maketh it void, or addeth thereto. Now just remember that. You can't add anything to God's new covenant. There is only one covenant. It's the new covenant. You can't add anything to it. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, who is the seed of Abraham. And to thy seed, which is Christ. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed, which is Christ. The promises weren't made to you outside of Christ. They were made to Christ. And the only way you can be a partaker of them is to abide in him, as he said. And if you don't abide in him, you don't bear fruit, and they cut you off and throw you in the fire. So, people say, God made this promise to me, and he can't take it back. He made the promise to Jesus Christ. It's only yours if you repent and believe. It's only yours if you repent and believe. No, he's not taking anything back. He doesn't have to. You reject it if you don't repent and believe. Your part of the covenant is to repent and believe, not accept. It doesn't say that anywhere. They're adding thereto, you see. Now, This I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by God, the law, which came 430 years after, does not disannul. Well, that's an old English word that just means annul. The law that came after the promise to Abraham does not annul what was given to Abraham. It says, so as to make the promise of none effect. Let me go back and read it again. Now, this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by God, that is, the promise to Abraham, the law which came 430 years after, does not annul, so as to make the promise of none effect. The promise to Abraham is still in effect. The law did not annul it. For if the inheritance is of the law, it's no more of promise. But God hath granted it to Abraham by promise. Now, where was Abraham's seed when he got this promise? In him. In him. Okay. As in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. You have to abide in Christ to bear fruit. You have to abide in Abraham to have this promise. You have to abide in Christ because the promise wasn't made to you outside of Christ. It was made to you in Christ. It was actually made to Christ. And the only way you can have it is to be a part of Him. That is to abide in Him. Right? This is the reason we eat His body and drink His blood. And verse 18, for if the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise. But God hath granted it to Abraham by promise. What then is the law? Now listen very carefully. What then is the law? It was added because of transgressions. Until the seed should come. Wait a minute. The law ended when the seed came, which is Christ. Till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. So when Jesus came, the law was gone. Over. It was a meantime thing anyway, just as he just got through saying. Just a meantime thing because of transgression, that's all. It didn't save, it didn't deliver. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. And it was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Well, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could make alive, notice that, there was no law given that could make alive. For if there had been a law given which could make alive, verily righteousness would have been of the law. But the Scripture shut up all things under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. See, this was His plan from the beginning. Notice. We're not in plan B, we're still in plan A. God didn't make a plan B. He sees the end from the beginning. But before faith came, we were kept inward, under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So that the law has become our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So now that Christ has come, what? We just saw that the law is no more. Now you must believe in Him, right? And what He has done. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. You're under faith now. There is no law. You can go back and keep that covenant. It does not exist. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. For as many as of you as were baptized into Christ, notice you're baptized into Christ, did put on Christ. Well, yeah. So think about that. So now it's no longer you that live, nor you that you see in the mirror. It's Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male and female, for you're all one man in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. So you have to be in Christ to be Abraham's seed, heir according to the promise. Notice that. If you're in Christ, you put on Christ, so therefore you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Because he was the heir of the promise. So don't say once saved, always saved. Salvation is in Christ. The only way you can have it is to abide in him. If you don't abide in him, you don't have it either. God didn't give you something and take it away. He gave it to Christ. The only way you get it is in him. And he said himself, except you abide in him, you won't bear fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, you'll be thrown in the fire. Oh, gosh, we just destroyed once saved, always saved, didn't we? Galatians 5 and 1. For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage, which is what he's calling the law. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Notice that. Well, what if you put something else in there besides circumcision? The Sabbath, if you sought to be justified by the Sabbath. Or keeping all the other ceremonial laws. If you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again unto every man that receiveth circumcision. He's a debtor to do the whole law. And like I said, if you put anything else in there, you'd still be a debtor to do the whole law. So you are severed from Christ. Oh my goodness. To seek to be justified by any part of the law, or to go back and to do any part of the law because you think it's pleasing unto the Lord. He said, you're severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You're fallen away from grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. But they have a firm expectation, that hope, right? You're fallen away from grace, he says. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. He's saying none of this is important. Except for faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Well, a bunch of Judaizers. This persuasion came not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence to you word in the Lord that you will be none other minded. None otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. He's pronouncing a curse upon the Judaizers. those that are dragging people under the law, under a covenant God didn't make with them. In Galatians 6:8 he says, "For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life." Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good towards all men, and especially towards them that are of the household of the faith. Notice, we can sow to our own flesh and just reap corruption. But if we put everything in the hands of the Spirit of God, because He is the Lord of all that we think we own, which we don't, if we do that, he says, let us work that which is good towards all men, and especially towards them that are of the household of the faith. So why does he say especially of the household of faith? Because whatsoever you do to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me, Jesus said. Yes, you can help anybody. But if you've got a choice, the most important is the household of the faith. Now, again, we're talking about the household of the faith. We're not talking about the household of Christianity. Because many have not faith. They really don't. And if you explain to them faith, they would scoff at you. That's why only the faithful can receive these things. Ephesians 2 and 4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace have you been saved. And he raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now you know how a third of the stars of heaven, which the Bible says is Abraham's seed, can fall to the earth. A great falling away by the tail of the dragon. The tail is the prophet that speaketh lies. Fall to the earth. They were given the gift of abiding in heavenly places, but they lost it. He made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." The exceeding riches of his grace, that was what he gave to the early church. And look what they did, and look who they were, and look who they looked like. You could tell they were the seed of Jesus, because they looked like him, they talked like him, they had the faith that he had, they did the works that he did. "And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father," Jesus said. Christians don't even resemble the early Christians. And they think it's right, because they think all that passed away, but they can't find a verse that says so. So they're adding to the word, and he's adding unto them the curses that are written in the book. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, a free gift. Not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them." Amen. We're going to walk in the works of Christ. We abide in Christ. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. And we abide in him to do his works. We are the body of Christ. Who lives in the body of Christ? Jesus does. That should make people tremble. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In whom we have boldness and access in confidence through our faith in Him." We have boldness and access in confidence through our faith in Him. "Wherefore I ask that you may not faint at my tribulations for you, which are your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith." Now notice that. "That you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." What does that mean? Well, I think he explains it very well. He says, "To the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend," not comprehend. There's no word there, comprehend. It's apprehend. "That you may be strong to apprehend." That means make it yours, not just think about it. "May be strong to apprehend with all the saints," that means sanctified ones, "what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ." Notice, he's saying that you may apprehend all that Christ is, His breadth, His length, His height, and His depth, and to know His love, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Oh, now they say that's not possible, because they don't believe the Bible. They believe they're preachers who have no hope of being like God, because they were told the same thing. They went to Bible school. "That you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think." So you say, God can't do this? Are you saying God can't do this? Or are you saying we can't do it? Well, we already know we can't do it. That's got nothing to do with it. What you're saying is that God can't do it. Okay? "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Where does the power come from? We just found out. It comes by faith. It comes according to grace, because of your faith. Now, if you believe you're going to be powerless, then you are. Because Jesus said, "Be it unto you according to your faith," right? And if you believe Christianity is powerless, you're going to be a part of powerless Christianity, which the Apostle Paul said, through Jesus Christ, "Depart from them. Unto Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen." How awesome. Ephesians 4:11. "And He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints." Now, we need to take that out of there, don't we? It doesn't really belong there. There's no such thing as perfecting of the saints. "For the perfecting of the saints." Now, of course, if you don't believe in any of this but a pastor, which is not a pastor, because he's powerless, then you can't be perfected, because God gave the fivefold ministry. "For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering." So he wants us all to become, in some form, a minister of His salvation. "Unto the building up of the body of Christ," so that the body of Christ will grow, right? till we all attain unto the unity of the faith. Now, denominationalism came along to stop the unity of the faith, because it's division, a sect, a division, a strife. It's illegal. So, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, this is what he said he would do. If you believed in fivefold ministries, and you believed in the Word of God, and you believed that Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away your sins and nailed them to that cross, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You think God's insulted if you believe this? He wrote it. You think Jesus is in competition with you? No, he's not. You have to abide in him. He's already arrived. You have to abide in him to arrive with him, right? That you may be no longer children. So the people that are not believing what I'm saying here, they're always going to be children. Tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men. That's exactly that what they've been deceived by. In craftiness, after the wiles of error. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. But speaking truth in love may grow up in all things into him. Grow up in all things into him, who is the head, even Christ. Some people have their own head, which is a terrible curse. But we have to grow up into the head, which is Christ. Sister shared her dream about cutting off the head of the old man the other day. It was very good. Ephesians 6:12. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the world rulers of this darkness. By the way, there's lots of world rulers of this darkness that rule over religion. They're called religious spirits. They even are called by denominational names. Against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. They want to deceive the people of God. The devil comes as an angel of light. Is it any wonder that he fashions his ministers as ministers of righteousness? Well, where are they? Yeah. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. The shield of faith. Your faith will save you from the devil. It is a shield. It's not just faith as some nebulous thing out there in space. It's faith in what God said. Faith in what God said, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Remember when Jesus was tested of the devil? Jesus said, nuh-uh, it's this way. Nuh-uh, it's that way. You know, Jesus corrected him with the word, and he left because it wasn't a thing he could do. Jesus had on his shield of faith. And take the helmet of salvation, which is again a shield for your mind, right? It's the knowledge that you've been saved. You've been delivered from the devil. He no longer has authority over you. Your flesh no longer has authority over you. The knowledge of salvation is awesome. You need to study it. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, watching thereunto, in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray for other people. Remember when Job was going through all hell, I should say, and he prayed for those persecutors. And that's when God turned things around for him. So don't forget to pray for others, not just for yourself. And Philippians 1:27 says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state, that you stand fast in one spirit. Some people don't do that. They don't stand fast in one spirit. With one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel. Well, that's what we're talking about, the faith of the gospel. The good news. It's really good news that Jesus took away your sins and gave you his life. It's really good news that you can look in the mirror and see him now and give that good confession. It's really good news because that means he's going to do it in you. And in nothing be affrighted by the adversaries. In other words, never be afraid of Satan. He wants to make you afraid. If you follow fear, you are not following God. There is no fear that's legal, but the fear of God. And if you have a fear of God, you're going to follow him and keep his commandments. But the devil comes with fear to keep you from doing the will of God. And if you obey that spirit of fear, you're always going to miss God, always. If it's fear of man, fear of the situation, fear of rejection, fear, no matter what, if you're following fear, you are following the devil. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Don't follow fear. In nothing be affrighted. And which is for them, that is the people that follow fear, an evident token of perdition. But of your salvation, in other words, you who don't follow fear, you've been saved. And that from God. Because to you it hath been granted in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer in his behalf. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So if you don't take anything else away from this, please take this away. If you're moved by fear, if you're not doing something you should be doing, but fear has stopped you, you're not following the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You'll never be a son of God if you follow fear. You're following the devil. You have authority over fear. You can tell it no. But fear makes you think you can't do that. It's a lying spirit in every case. Philippians 3 and 7 says, howbeit, what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. That was, of course, Paul's religious life, right? Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ. See, some people are so proud of their religious upbringing that they'll never be able to go on and follow Christ. But he considered all that literally dung so he could follow Christ. Are you ready to change your mind? That's what the word repent means. Paul repented. When he met Christ, he repented. He came out from under the law all the way. And he followed the Lord. He didn't follow fear. He followed the Lord. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death. In other words, dead to self. This is what he's talking about. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. And this is, of course, the only place in the Bible this terminology is used, which is the out resurrection from among the dead. In other words, everybody's dead. They're dead in sin, shaped in iniquity. And we're resurrecting from their midst. Not that I've already obtained or am already made perfect. So what is perfect? He's just saying, he just said what it is. It's the resurrection from the dead. But I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. So he's going forward to apprehend that which was given him at the cross. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, that means all your failures, all your foolishness, out and on. And stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on towards the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Well, there are many high callings of God. I would say the man-child is one, the bride is one, so on and on. There are high callings of God. We want to be excellent in following Christ and in showing to the world who Jesus is. I mean, when the world sees us, they should be able to see Jesus, the Jesus, the original Jesus, not a new Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. All right, now Paul is claiming perfection. Be thus minded. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal to you. Only whereunto we have attained, by that same rule let us walk. Brethren, be ye imitators together of me, and mark them that so walk, even as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Yes, they don't believe in death to self. They exalt another dead religion besides the law, whose end is perdition, destruction, whose body, whose God is the belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation. Notice when Jesus comes, he's going to give you a new body, not a new soul. You're on earth to receive that new soul now. You're in that trial now. He's going to give you a new body, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subject all things unto himself. Amen. One more. Colossians 1:21. And you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. Reconciled, that means exchanged his life for yours. He's in the process of doing this if you're walking by faith, right? But there's a condition that this process is fulfilled. Verse 23, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, the good news, that you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. Which you heard and which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Isn't that awesome? Lord, we praise you for this awesome thing here, this awesome work that you have done, what you've given unto us. I pray, Lord, that your people would listen and obey and give heed to the words of the gospel, and that they would grow in you, and that they would forget trusting in man and go to your word and read your word and love it so much and ask you for wisdom and direction and fill them with faith, Lord, the faith that was once given unto the saints, Lord. Lord, we ask all this in the name of Jesus, and we thank you so much for it. Amen. Thank you, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Amen. Good night.